Hello, Rooster Teeth fans. We are back. We've had 15 seasons of this, and we are starting on the 16th. The Red versus Blue after show on Rooster Teeth Reviews is back. We are looking at season 16, episodes 1, 2, and 3. We are going to talk about actual honest-to-God time travel, actual honest-to-God gods, and pizza. So, join us after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Mr. Sandman.
Yep, flawless.
Of course, I can't hear that without thinking of Team Four Star, Mr. Sandman. But that is not the comedy company we are talking about tonight. Hello, Rooster Teeth fans. Hello, Red vs. Blue fans. It's been a while. Welcome back to the Red vs. Blue after show on Rooster Team Reviews. We are looking at season 16, episodes 1, 2, and 3, The Shizno, Incendiary Incidents, and Lost Time. I'm super excited. I don't know about you guys. I'm super excited.
Oh, I'm jazzed. I was actually singing this song earlier today because I was like, I get to talk about Red vs. Blue today.
You're jazzed. I'm bluesed.
How about you tell us your names?
Ooh, who first? Me first?
You first.
Okay, I'm
Megan
Salinas.
She's not used to not being the host.
Yeah, it's weird.
We rotate? It's like an improv game. You go, rotate, and now it's my turn, and I have to be funny or you kick me off.
Well, anyway, I'm Megan Salinas, and to my left...
I'm Mark Vidalica, and I'm coming from a place of exhaustion. Cheers to you. And to my left...
Hi, all my buddies. I'm Katie Cullen. I am captain of this crazy ship, and we are doing this thing. We're all very tired. It's going to be a great show. If you would like to join in the conversation, we have the hashtag that is RTR Reviews, and that is on the Twitters. If you are watching us on the live chat, hello. I believe Mark has the live chat up.
Yeah,
he's smiling. You must have the live chat up.
I'm looking at some hot memes.
We're looking at some hot memes. I like cold memes. Do you have any of those?
Chili memes.
I like
cool
dank
memes.
Well,
no, like dank's not a temperature, Megan.
Well, no, Rooster Teeth just posted the butterfly memes. Like, is this the new meme?
Oh, no.
The Rooster Teeth social department is just killing it.
I mean, is this a pigeon has been around for years? Only recently did it become ridiculously mimetic.
I really good. Did love that it took off, though. Some of the stuff that's come out of it has been absolutely fantastic.
It makes me very happy. So yes, give us your hot, cool, and dank memes in the hashtag. They must be all three. Find that Venn diagram overlap in the middle. And yeah, if you want to participate, that is the place to do it. So let's get started on this. Guys, actual honest to God time travel. Mm-hmm. Not the stuff that we thought was time travel.
I actually disagree with that assessment because season three, a good chunk of season three was church time traveling. And we know that the blues and the reds didn't actually go into the future, but church actually did go into the past. Yeah. Unless that was a computer simulation, which I'll be honest, I haven't read the compendium. Did that get retconned? Was that all just a computer simulation that they put Alpha into?
I figure the fact that they're calling this season the Shizno Paradox, I figure that that's going to come back around. I figure something with Great Destroyer, things of that nature, are going to come back to play in the season.
I like
and
that.
Again, given that it's the Shizno Paradox, I will be very, very surprised if we don't wind up with some form of AI shenanigans with Gamma. Don't know how, don't know when, don't know where, but it's going to happen.
I mean, his whole thing was temporal distortions, so that would be a fun AI to play with in this season. Yeah.
And that's one of those things that I think they had a lot of trouble with once the series grew a plot and became serious. It's like, okay, time travel, and we're working with freelancers, and how do we integrate time travel into this, you guys?
The second they introduced York as a character, that's where the time travel bit sort of fell apart, because they were supposed to be in the future. How would Tex have been able to meet up with an old freelancer buddy if they had gotten blown into the future by a couple hundred years like it was supposed to be originally?
Because they're stupid.
I mean, yeah.
Continuity.
Just because it was all in your head, what makes that not real? I butchered that Harry Potter quote.
Was that a Harry Potter quote?
Just because it was all in your head, why shouldn't that mean it was real? Better.
I think we should use a time turner and try that line again.
New choice.
Absolutely new choice.
Nope, that was my newest choice. I made an attempt. But yeah, we lean a little bit on last season with the machine and with Donut getting zapped, and we bring that back around. Evidently, he has been saved by God.
but also the fact the thing, are we just getting into it, or are we like,
we're getting into thoughts? It. Okay. Let's go.
I like that within these three episodes, I think it's implied that Donut's disappearing and reappearing has something to do with what we're witnessing now. Because we're playing with time, and because he says he's lived with that, like, this many lifetimes, there, I mean, this is the Alpha Donut. And Donut just is an experience that exists across all time and space, and that explains probably why he's so damn happy all the time, and how he's gone and then back with little to no explanation.
Go ahead. Oh, it's the donut theory. It's the donut-shaped universe theory that Homer Simpson coined. Donut is the beginning, the middle, and the end. The alpha and the omega. He is just all-encompassing and probably delicious.
Look, all I'm saying, the color of the frosting on the Homer donut.
It's pink!
It's also lightish red. Now, if you just need multicolor like armor accents on on Donut, yeah, to be like, oh, it's he's a frosted donut. He's a frosted donut
with the sprinkles.
I love it.
I'm kind of terrified by how much sense that makes.
No, especially when you're like, the wow, Alpha and the Omega. We know them.
We do know them. We know both of them.
Yeah.
Yes, and it didn't end well for anybody.
Nope.
Yeah, I like that we've introduced Donut being unstuck in time, and we're kind of fixing what may or may not have been continuity errors across the past 15 seasons. Mm. Because where the hell is Donut has become a meme, and now we're explaining it. Like, I think you're absolutely right, Mark.
Where is Donut? Yes.
Who is Donut? Why is Donut?
Do you one better. Perfect.
Yeah.
Still doesn't, like... It's so funny because in any normal group of individuals, his absence would be noted upon a lot more. But because it's the Reds and the Blues, he can literally become unstuck in time and become sort of like this constant or this time-traveling warrior for God? Question mark? And none of them notice until he comes out and announces it.
Warrior for God, like Bible Man.
Was that an actual Marvel and or DC hero?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a Marvel or DC, but it was like a like direct to video lame, like full body rubber with a cross on his chest. Bible Man.
It was
I'm
real.
I'm not in any capacity surprised.
Catholics.
Yep.
We're going to take the sinful media that your children like and make it wholesome.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why we're going to put a muscular man in a rubber suit. please clap in chat, says this could also explain why no one can kill Donut.
Mm-hmm. That is a very
protected
good point.
Like the gods.
Yep.
At one point he did die, except for the fact that he kind of didn't. Things I will never get over. Season 7?
Because that was a big turning point for Wash's character, and yeah, a lot of people argued that Donut should have stayed dead. But having this sort of, like, in terms of, like, he needed to be alive lest there become, like, lest we create a time paradox because of what he ultimately becomes, like, I definitely buy that as an explanation for sure.
Yeah. I like that we've done this with Donut. I like that we've given Donut more than just, here are some jokes, have fun. That we're doing a little more with his character. I appreciate the hell out of that. And he brings in time travel guns with shuffle buttons. God believes in shuffle buttons.
Now, is this actually a shuffle button in that you hit the button and it literally picks any point, like, randomly in time and space?
I'm going to go with it functions that way, but that's not what it actually is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think that's a good play. And is it just any time in history, or is it the person holding the gun's history?
Ooh!
Or is it the area that you're putting the portal's history? There's a lot of inherent... Like, once you get into time travel, they have to establish rules a little bit more than... Eh.
Or is... Oh, hey, all right. Fairy magic.
I love it.
Or is...
No, this is Back to the Future.
Yes, it is!
Or is the shuffle button where God thinks you need to go?
Like the TARDIS. Yeah.
Like the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Although the TARDIS is more, the TARDIS does what the TARDIS wants.
Whatever TARDIS wants.
TARDIS gets.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Now, if you guys were given a time travel gun, where would you want to go?
Nope.
It doesn't have to be anywhere in your personal history. Anywhere.
Mark, do you have a better answer than nope? Because all I have is massive backpedaling and, oh, that could go so poorly so quickly.
I would mess with myself in the past in a way that would just, I really like, as you witnessed, or like moments before we went live, I really like sneaking up on people because as a big guy, I take it as a challenge. So I would like to like the ultimate hunt. Of doing that to myself.
The most dangerous game.
And in the moment where, like, I would turn around and see myself with the time machine gun and, like see them freaking out, button, and I'd be gone. Just so I'd be like, okay, they saw me, and then done. Or be, like, in a distant crowd, like at a Disney, like, in a couple...
Comic-Con.
Yeah, something like that. Like, a couple hundred people in front, like, watching the fireworks, and as, like, oh, that's so pretty. Is that me? And me from the future will go, oh, yes, past me.
Yes.
It's me.
Yes, it is.
I would, in that sort of same vein, I would definitely pick some place, like, fun and interesting to go and, like, see. But the main thing I would want to do is, one time when I was in college, there was a project we had to do where we had to write a letter to our future selves. So we did that, and I forgot about it. And then, you know, fast forward about a year and a half, and I get the letter, and I'm so tired and delirious from, you know, normal lack of sleep, college stuff, that for a split second, I thought it was a note from the future.
I thought you were going to be like, yeah, I didn't do this assignment. I'm going to go back in time and do that assignment.
No. Because it had my handwriting on it, and I was like, why would I have written something to myself? Is this a note from the future? That's how tired and sleep deprived I was. So I would love to do that, but in real life, give myself a note from the future.
Was that the London trip one?
Yes,
it
was.
Yeah, no, I definitely got that note from Past Katie. Opened it up and went, oh God, Past Katie knows me really well.
I think just showing up would be like, I don't have to write a letter.
It's like future Marshall sending wings to past Marshall.
Yeah.
No, thanks, I already ate. So I love that we have these guns. Splitting the party seems like an interesting move. Especially the particular pairs that we have.
To be perfectly honest, I know why they did it, because they're giving us character interactions, aside from Sergeant Simmons, that we don't usually get.
Yeah.
But aside from that, we're still in the process of. And while we're in the middle of it, I'm going to be perfectly honest in saying that it's not working for me. Really.
Really?
I like the impetus of why they're doing it. I think they lead the obvious for a couple of things of we've been doing this so many times that we know Griff is the prototypical comedic character of he's down on his luck and he can never win. So it's funny, and Jeff makes it in, like, all of the performances top notch.
Oh, yeah.
I totally agree. Like, nobody's missed a beat. I think the removal, well, or at least the lack of Carolina and Wash, I think is a disservice to the story, because they become so integral to these teams, and these teams have really relied on them emotionally.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to see them move forward as if some of that stuff hasn't happened. I don't know if, and we know that this is, even this whole season is part of a complete story. So I don't expect that we're going to get the full sort of the full finish with the end of the season. But I'm not a fan of how obvious some of the stuff seems, and how at the end of the day we like nothing is learned from it.
I think at this point we're just kind of showing off, this is what the guns do, this is how they work. And I think we might also be leaning into the nature of time travel in this particular canon. Because you have 15 different flavors of time travel. Okay, which one is this?
I'm not even talking about the time travel. I'm just talking about the character interactions.
Not the
idea that anything that they mess with back in time is useless because it'll always come back to bite them in the ass. But just it's weird that they would go for these character interactions, and due to the nature of those characters, it, like, hey, let's bring up a serious topic to talk about. Nah, okay. and we move on from there.
Griff and Doc.
I'm wondering if part of it isn't kind of production oriented, because looking at, like, one of the big challenges with Machinima is getting people there to do the body work. And as the cast has expanded over the past 16 years, you know, we've got people from Chorus, we have our reporters, we have our freelancers, we have our normal red and blue teams. There are sort of a lot of moving parts with that. And when you have all of those characters in one scene together, that's a lot of people, that's a lot of machines. And they've been doing this, you know, for so long that they have it down to a science. But I'm wondering if maybe just to sort of streamline things here at the very beginning of the season, if they're like, okay, let's pair people off so that we can break this up into more manageable chunks, maybe. I don't know. That's a thought, just in terms of production, why they would break them off into like little pairs.
Sure. At the same time, though, it seems like technologically and budgetarily, that doesn't seem like an issue. I mean, it's not like for a budget, we all need Xbox One X's, and four controllers for each, and a full library of games. Like it's not like that. I mean, they're using hardware that works. So I can see that if that's the case, also this is in motion. It's something that could improve. It could be a long play of next season. Something that Griff learned in episode 3 could come back at the end of the season and make it a whole story. It's one of those things where if we weren't covering it on the show, I would let a whole bunch sort of accumulate and watch there, as opposed to watching week to week. And I wonder if they're starting to release based on binging mentalities. I wonder if that's got affected production.
That
too.
Might be it why might be, there's yeah. not a YouTube release for this yeah. season.
I think the lack of YouTube release is trying to drive people to the new site, because mm-hmm. I don't think it gets as much traffic as they would like. But that's a whole other, that is some theoretical behind the scenes stuff that I have no direct knowledge of. For this, I would theorize that they're doing two birds with one stone. Mm-hmm. The, we want to see these character interactions, so let's do that. And again, let's also kind of go into the mechanics of time travel. How do these guns work? How does time travel work in this world? We don't have Donut paired off with anyone, so I'm a little worried as to how he's doing right now. Despite being an avatar of God.
Yes.
But we get to see Griff talking with Doc after he spent the past two episodes, you know, calling Doc a traitor and being mad at him. All right, let's get some scenes to resolve that. And we haven't seen Tucker and Sister together in a dog's age. All right, well, let's address that. And maybe the scenes aren't what we want them to be. Maybe they're not what we imagined. Maybe they'll be better in later episodes.
And I don't want to speak for the entirety of the show. This is just the views expressed to those me only. So like yeah. so yeah, you, like y'all don't have to agree with me.
What I do yeah. like,
I think we'll have to see more. I think we'll need a few more episodes with these particular storylines to see. Okay, how does this shake out? How are they doing? But I don't think we're going to spend the whole season with the party split.
I will say that out of all of the character interactions that, in terms of paired off, I do think Griff and Doc is the most interesting out of the ones we've been given. But as far as the time travel mechanics go, based on what we've seen, it looks like we're dealing with linear time travel, in that you cannot change the past or the future. You participate in it. Bill and Ted rules, for those of you more... which I prefer Bill and Ted rules over something like Back to the Future. Back to the Future is fun and it's great, but when time is sort of malleable, that leaves a lot of room for sort of shenanigans, in my opinion, when it comes to storytelling. So I really like how tightly everything has to be put together when you're dealing with linear time travel. You have to make everything fit into this puzzle piece that you're putting together. Yeah.
In terms of pairings, while I am interested in Doc and Griff, I think with how much importance was placed on the relationship of Griff and Simmons,
I
would have really liked for them to, and I don't mean this in a shipper way. I'm learning. I really would have liked for them to get some time alone so that they don't feel pressured by other people to be dicks to each other, but they can actually have a serious conversation, and maybe Doc might be the person to get that out of Griff and ultimately be like, of all of the, and maybe that could be a thing, like, of all the people that I wanted to get paired up with, I got paired up with you instead of the person that really matters to me and I really could have used a bonding trip with, life-changing field trip with Zuko.
And it's entirely possible that we might bring them back together and then do another split because they made it very clear that it's two people per portal. And God bless them, they aren't smart.
It's only a matter of time before one person gets abandoned somewhere.
Donut. I mean.
Well, probably Doc, too. I have to agree with you, Mark, in that regard. I think that what the sort of impetus for that is... because we know Joe in particular has a fondness for Griff, I feel like that's very, you know, much like Donut has more to do this season and last season, Griff has been given a lot more to do and is being a lot more, not necessarily proactive, but he's being proactive. He's being as proactive as he can be in trying to avoid the call to adventure as he possibly can. And so I agree. I feel like the person he was paired up with is Doc. One, because of Doc's relationship with the rest of the team and how that sort of needs to be resolved and shaken out. And also because it's not Simmons. Because if Griff was stuck with somebody... that he actually wanted to hang out with, we wouldn't be getting, it wouldn't move him forward. Although I agree with you, I feel like he probably wants to be, like, if he had to go on an adventure, Simmons would be the one he would want to be paired up with. And the fact that he's paired up with Doc is driving him crazy because he's like, ugh, I just wanted to be with my friend, the one person I don't hate.
And that's, go ahead, sorry.
I like seeing these character shuffles. I mean, we didn't realize that Griff and Locus was the interaction that we all never knew we needed until we got it last season, and it was a thing of wonder and beauty. So it's possible that we may go there with this one.
It's possible. Callie the Snarky Geek in chat says, personally, as much as I'd love Griff and Simmons' relationship, and ship it, that her, not me, we at least kind of know how that dynamic would go. Griff and Doc is far more interesting and harder to tell where it will go. While I do agree with the Griff and Doc part, I think the opportunity, because we've seen where Griff and Simmons begin, people would like to see where they end, but I think that there would be the opportunity then to play with expectations. I think that's what ultimately is the idea across the board, is to play with those expectations. And I wonder if when they were doing like, all right, let's put these people together, these, who's left? Simmons, I'm excited to see how Simmons and Sarge, their relationship has changed so much since season one.
Oh yeah.
Let alone since season 15. But, that's another one where I hope to be surprised like this, is if they're gonna give us a relationship that we think we're familiar with, they're gonna flip it on its head.
Yeah. If Griff had been paired up with Simmons, here's the thing, he'd be happy. And he can't go on an adventure if he's happy and content.
But we also haven't seen happy Griff. We rarely see happy Griff.
See happy anyone. Half the point of this comedy is misery.
He was so happy thinking about that pizza. gosh,
Before we start talking about Griff's strategy to avoid things, let's talk about something that you yourself should pair up with.
Pizza's a lot of fun, and if you guys want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, we've got a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that it was Rooster Teeth Reviews that sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition. Check it out.
We can't promise that it will send you on a time travel journey, but it should send you on a personal journey of growth.
I can promise that it will send you on a time travel journey. Whether that promise comes true... not up to me.
Mark.
Support the people that support us and feel supported.
And if you would like to continue to support us, you can go to iTunes and leave a review, because that is how you let people know that you like us and you want us to stay on the air and all that fun stuff. And also it helps bump up our ranks in iTunes. So when people search for Rooster Teeth, Ruby, Red versus Blue, Nomad of Nowhere, all that fun stuff that we cover, they find us more easily, we bring in more people, and we have a nice happy family to talk about time travel and why misery is comedy. Yeah, we don't have any new reviews this time around. They take a little bit of time to post, so if you have not yet done the thing, please do the thing. If you are in an iTunes store that is not the American iTunes store, we have a tough time finding that because there's like 26 of them.
They do still count, though.
They absolutely count. Please take a screen cap of your review. If it is in a not American iTunes store, throw it in the hashtag. We will see that. We will give you a shout out. We adore you guys. Thank you so much for your continued support. Tell your friends.
And also...
tell your enemies.
Tell everyone, whether they'll listen or not. Take out a billboard.
There are also other places where people can comment and let us know their thoughts on things.
Yes, that's right, Megan. And I'm going to tell you one of those places. One of the things that we got to do in between seasons is we got to do a little thing called Welcome to Vale, which is a combination of Rooster Teeth's Ruby and Welcome to Night Vale, the famous The World Over podcast. By a wonderful group of writers, we got to play a little bit with just the weird and the unexplained, and even some of the explained, in the Ruby universe. And we did episode one here live, sort of as a pilot, and we really wanted to keep it going, and we did. We put the pilot over on our YouTube channel. So if you go to ABTV Rooster Team, or just look up Welcome to Vale, you can find episode one. You could also find episode two, which is titled Human Grim Relations. Now, this one, I have to compliment a good friend Megan Salinas here, who took on the bulwark of this story and this storyline. It was really something fun as a technician to figure out.
Masterfully
and make
done
work.
By the way.
So for those of you who haven't listened yet, I don't some of these comments I'm not going to read, but I'm going to thank the people who did comment. Malachroma, Caitlin Geddes, Cardin Ark, Kane's Child, and Danger, or DNGR, who I'm just going to assume is Danger. It was really fun to perform. It was very weird because it was me in a dark room recording audio. But make sure to head over there, leave a comment, share it with friends. We want to keep doing it, and we do have an end goal in mind this year with it that we really hope to be able to talk to you about soon. But ultimately, the more interest in the show, the more we'll be able to do it. The more time that we can afford to do it. And right now, God, we're all so flipping busy. So as much as I would like to get an episode out every month or so, it's still pretty hard to do that. So support us by subscribing to our YouTube channel, leaving comments on our stuff. Also if you go to tpublic.com/theroosterteam, we have Welcome to Night Vale stuff as well as stuff that's themed after
Welcome to Vale.
I'm dead. Welcome to Vale. We have I Hate the Ships That You Like, which is reminiscent of Caboose's old line.
I believe that was either Simmons or Griff, because it was a PSA.
Oh, that's right. But we have a take on that, and then we have an RTR Army shirt that is very reminiscent of the old Red Army, Blue Army ones that's in yellow and black. And then we have a RTR logo shirt that I'm a real big fan of. But if you can put those designs on a variety of different things, not just a t-shirt, but that goes to help us out too, and it helps us spend a little bit more time on writing and creating Welcome to Vale. So check out Welcome to Vale, Welcome to Vale, Welcome to Vale, Welcome to Vale, Episode 2. Human Grim Relations. Thank you to everybody who's watched and commented so far. Definitely share it with your friends, because we just want to get more attention on this thing.
Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Take out a billboard.
And it's going to be my advertising thing from now on. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Take out a billboard.
And no joke, guys, when I was writing it, I didn't think it was going to turn out nearly as well as it did with Mark's performance. Like, he, again, technician-wise, he made these awesome sound effects and everything was performed.
No, it was all real. I recorded all of the things that happened are things that existed. That I recorded and put into the...
So it was super easy then.
Yeah, you know, it was a lot easier than I thought it would be. It was just the making sure that it was getting to the place to record all of the necessary stuff in the field. If you want to know the hell I'm talking about, check out Welcome to Vale, Episode 2,
should.
Human Grim Relations.
And we should wander back into our own personal quest, the Pizza Quest.
Pizza Quest! Pizza Quest!
Leave the calzones in the friend zone.
Oh, but I like calzones.
Folded pizza, though.
Anyway, we're not there yet.
Let's talk about Griff's strategy to avoid his entire life.
First of all, poor Locust. Can I just say poor Locust? Because, oh dear.
He has decided that he learned from Jax's script writing book, but only the first couple of chapters, maybe. That if you avoid all of the incendiary incidents in your life, you never have to go on a quest. He has figured out that his life is run by narrative causality, and he is determined not to do it. Sadly, narrative causality does not like being subverted, and here we are. As yeah. Simmons points out, what if refusing the quest is part of the quest?
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't want to hear about anything new that's happening on Chorus. He doesn't want to walk through the ominous woods. He doesn't want to go by the glowing lake. And when Locust sent an urgent encrypted message, he crashed the Pelican so as not to have to listen to it.
I don't know. Do you all know what the traditional hero's journey outline for story writing is?
Yes. I actually posted it on my Instagram like a year ago, so I should pull that up.
Well, it's classic Griff in terms of, I didn't get to all of it, where the refusal of the call is the end of the first act.
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't know. That's what you get.
Yep. That is why you read all of it, or you at least get a complete summary.
And
he did not bother because Griff.
And that was I like the level of consistency Kelly in chat is saying as well. Griff's strategy was the greatest level of fourth wall breaking I've ever seen. Similar to last season was it. I think Joe just really likes playing with the fourth wall. And this is a good indicator of it.
We're on season 16. You gotta come up with some new stuff. You gotta come up with some fun stuff. And this leaning on the fourth wall is a great way to do it.
Here's some Illuminati stuff. Season 16, 1 plus 6 is 7. This is season 7 all over again.
Except that Donut is now the Undying.
I was going to say, at the end of this season, Donut's going to be dead. Donut's going to be dead, and Wash will be evil.
I mean, he's getting an evil transplant right now. We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in a hospital. Who knows what they're doing to him there?
We do know that he and Carolina will be back probably sometime this season because... Jen and Shannon have both mentioned that they've recorded for, I believe, this season, because I don't think they record that far out for future seasons, and that they both really enjoyed what they recorded.
Yeah. Jen seems pretty excited.
Yeah, and Shannon mentioned it on Tumblr, because Shannon likes to troll the fans. It is tradition at this point, and has been for 7, 8 seasons.
Wash doesn't say a single thing this season.
They just had me making noises. It was weird.
He sounds like the meta. Oh no. Oh no.
A lot of gross assumptions here.
He sounds like the meta, and then at the end of this season, he turns evil and he's the new meta. No.
Something history repeating itself?
Yeah.
Time is a circle?
Yeah. Like a donut.
And that is why clocks are round.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elijah Wood. Anytime, Mr. Wood.
He's shy.
If they actually manage to get Elijah Wood back in studio to record things, I will lose my... Oh, my God.
Look,
that'd be amazing.
All I'm saying is... and I forget the name of it. Dang it. I lost the joke. But the movie that Lee was in, that has Elijah Wood in it, that's on Netflix... dang it. I'll look it up, but it's like the... Kevin
Bacon.
The Baconing is... is even closer, or is just as close as when it was there, even though he's, like, done the project before. But I hate that I can't remember the name of this movie!
We will come back to you. But I love that this is Griff's strategy and that it blows up in his face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely, it falls in line. We know that Joe likes playing with story structure. We know that he likes addressing different types of stories, and we know that he loves his movie references.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good way to still incorporate a little bit of that without Jax being there.
Yeah. Mark, you did a thing.
I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore is the name of the movie that I was talking about. I highly recommend it. It's dark but good. Also, Mustang Island, while we're here, which is a movie that Lee Eddy starred in, and it's just, they're both amazing. Anyway... Off topic.
I thought you were just announcing your state of being.
I was going to say, are you
I didn't
okay?
realize that was the title of the movie.
Which is my roundabout way of saying 479ers coming back.
Yeah!
I mean, I'd be happy.
We're playing with time travel.
I've made this point in our videos, but yeah, no, we still have all the assets and whatnot for the Mother of Invention.
I don't see why not.
It's going to break my heart into a bunch of tiny little pieces. But I don't see why not.
It would be interesting, although a lot of people have made a lot of people who have been responding positively to the time travel plot so far this season have been saying, like, you know, we love stuff that's come before, but a lot of the freelancer stuff, that well has sort of been tapped. So I feel like if they did go back to the Mother of Invention, what they would do would be very interesting, but I have a hard time, like, just being like, okay, what would they do if they went to the Mother of Invention?
I don't expect the plot to live there in much the same way that we've been living in Sins of the Freelancers for the past 10 seasons,
forever.
Give or take. For the past forever. But I think it would be remiss not to go there at all.
Since we are playing with time travel, and I know we kind of got a goodbye last season, but are we gonna get Church back?
Maybe.
A version of Church?
Alpha?
Are we gonna get Church from the?
We're gonna get Yellow Church.
Yeah. If time was linear, I was gonna suggest a Back to the Future thing where we pull Church from back in time, from season two, and bring him all the way forward. But no, it's the,
but that's
it's
what
the
plot
church.
Of last season was. That's what we ended the last season
that,
on.
That's what I mean. Huh. Though is we ended with a goodbye, and we ended with all of that stuff to put Church to rest. And I agree with Griff. It's like, he's dead. He's gone. Let We're him. Done with him. But it's something where they could at least. Never mind. That's next episode. But I'm excited. There could be some treachery in it.
I would be okay with that.
I actually want to move on to our next topic, because we have a slew of new characters that we haven't talked about yet, and we have wandered straight into some sort of pantheon, or many sorts of pantheons.
Yeah! We have
Tali and Tottle basically watching Huggins and Muggins, but I'm on a Majora's Mask kick, so why not? These little small beads of light that have been watching them, and I didn't realize this until a commenter on another video pointed it out to me, Hugin and Munin, Odin's ravens,
yes.
is the reference. Right over my head, so whoever pointed that out, thank you so much.
I 100% took it at face value as just like, oh, Huggins and Muggins, those are adorable names.
So we surprise
like,
what?
So obvious. Yeah. So obvious.
I'm very glad you picked up on that, because I sure as hell didn't.
Wasn't that heavy?
I will say though that looking at these little balls of light, did anybody ever watch So Weird on the Disney Channel growing
yes!
up? There was basically a glowing ball of light that kind of worked on Rumpelstiltskin rules. He could possess someone, and if you guessed his name, you could get him to leave. It was Brikru, by the way. But yeah, so seeing these little balls of light, I'm like, are those now?
See, and I've got a different, slightly weird show. Ghost Rider.
The show?
Yeah, Ghost Rider.
Oh, right. Oh. I was like, how did you, like not pick up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when we're talking about Ghost Rider?
No, I would love an actual, honest-to-God, Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider show. Sign me up. But that
is caught up on season four.
Hilariously off topic. No, just him. Just him. Him in Los Angeles. Let's do it.
It's a vlog series with Robbie. And you don't even see him change into the...
It's just really hard being an older brother.
I'd be down. And then let's get Kamala Khan and Miles Morales in there and let's just go.
Again,
those are my crossover fantasies.
Off topic. So Huggins and Muggins. Which one is which?
Yes.
I don't remember which one is which. I know that...
But one of them's a rookie.
What? Oh, no, that I've got. Muggins is the one who knows what's going on, and Huggins is the rookie.
You nailed it, yeah.
I took notes!
Yeah, fine. Well, I mean, one of them is specifically the left eye, one is specifically the right eye.
Yeah.
So
one is, I think one is thoughts and one is memories or something like that.
Then what are the Norse words for those?
I don't remember which raven is which.
But that's the thing of like determining like the derivative of the name, if that's more derivative and relates closer to memories, blah blah blah, etc. Et
all right, chat. Which one is which? Which raven corresponds to thoughts, and which one is memories? Let us know. Put it in the chat because we have another deity to talk about. Holy cow!
Santa Claus.
Finally, Santa's namesake has arrived, and it's
Santa.
No,
Santa's back.
Kali,
she's
who is
beautiful.
Who is? Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong, but I think she's a Hindu deity. So all of this about being the god of death. Yeah, no, that's a thing. I actually did go and look it up, and I wrote down what she said because this was a beautiful little speech. I am Kali Rama the Undying, goddess of death, war, and annihilation, daughter of time, queen of the cosmic powers, and mother to the fates. Now kneel before me so I may remove your heads from your necks.
She's also the Stormborn, the first of her name.
Yes.
The Unburnt.
She walks through fire.
Mother of fates.
I love her introduction. Again, I'm not quite sure what we're getting at in terms of the pantheon that's being introduced to us. If we're sort of going an American Gods route where all the gods are real, and they're fading from existence because people don't believe in them anymore. Sort of Neil Gaiman rules there. I don't know if that's kind of what we're going into or if these are normal people who have been elevated to a different state of being through technology. Hard to say, but oh my god, I love her. It's been way too long since we've had a female antagonist in this show, and she looks so badass!
And she's just super happy to be evil. It's nice to have someone who is just gleefully evil and doesn't need to have a tragic backstory.
5 years down the road, she's going to be on Red Team.
No, that's Locus's job.
Whichever... Oh, god damn it, Cam, you have a point. So, Hunan and Munin are supposed to be representative of what?
I thought it was thoughts and memories.
What's the key here?
Oh!
So the one that represents...
I have a shirt that says that!
It was Cam Griffin, his memory is the key, and I'm sure it said it kind of as a joke, but... They're going to bring back memory being the key.
That's got to... Oh, no. Oh, yes. Oh, no. Whew. The other thing I want to bring up is that the first thing Kali says when she gets on screen is, for once, the trickster spoke true. And who are we talking about?
Loki!
Loksman, yeah.
I mean, we have the Norse pantheon, kind of. We have an indirect reference to them. We straight up have a god from, again, I believe the Hindu pantheon. Ooh. I could be wrong.
I have one.
And Donut says he met God, implying a Judeo-Christian god.
I have an idea.
Or Loki posing as God.
I have an idea for the trickster. Loki seems like the logical choice given his current popularity in pop culture. You know who I'd love to see?
Who?
Anansi.
Yes. Hmm. I was thinking either Anansi or Coyote.
Coyote would be a good one, too. Mm. Son, in your face, Space Coyote.
That was not what I was thinking of. I was actually on an Iron Druid kick there, but I'm down.
Johnny Cash. Deep Cut Simpsons reference.
Glad you picked up what I was putting down.
Wasn't heavy.
I understood that reference. Yeah. So we have a situation where it's a battle of the gods. It's a final prophecy, honest to God, time travel, and we've split the party. So this should be fun.
Yeah. The first two episodes in the season completely kind of blew me away in terms of, I didn't know what I was expecting for this season. I was kind of, with the name The Shizno Paradox, I was not picturing time travel as much as I was sort of more anthology stories, like mm-hmm. like we got for season 14, or even multiverse stories, you know, kind of tying into the Cloverfield Paradox kind of where I'm assuming this season is getting its namesake from.
I love that stupid movie.
So I kind of like that I was so caught off guard. Like, it surprised me with what we've been given so far. Mm-hmm. So I know that not all of the character interactions are ideal, but just in terms of concept, I like how refreshing all of this is.
I was expecting time travel just because the sheer number of Gamma fans in my various social media timelines immediately picked up on that and I ran with it. So it was like, all right, yeah, sure, I'm down. That sounds about right. Mark?
I just for the sake of time, let's move on.
Okay.
Because is there
anything else we want to cover here? Or have we hit every... We basically did predictions all throughout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just I love Kali. I love, again, I don't know if she's going to be our big, big bad or if this is going to be like sort of a misdirect. Yeah, I love her and I can't wait till we get more.
She reminds me of Hela and I'm in.
I think that was the idea.
Oh, yeah. Mm. All right. I think with that, we should switch to news. We have a little bit of news to talk about for this month.
AfterBuzz TV News.
This is pilot month.
Holy
Rooster
cow.
Teeth is premiering 5 new shows because this is our life right now. One of them premieres tomorrow, actually. We have Branded tomorrow. We have Gork's Quest on May 15th. Achievement Haunter on May 17th.
Yeah, that's had a lot of hype. Like, they said it once and people went, ah, that's silly. And then, like, a couple weeks later they went, no, that's a show. That's real.
I mean, after BuzzFeed Unsolved, I'm not at all surprised. $1 Million Butt Animated on May 29th and Murder Room on May 31st. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening to enough My Favorite Murder that I am super stoked for Murder Room and I don't know the first thing about it.
I think it's supposed to be like a new... tabletop game that they're trying out. In the picture, I see Blaine covering somebody with Risinger up the screen, implying that he's the host, and Gus and Barbara.
Yeah.
So that we're gonna have to wait the longest for, because that's the 31st. Has anybody heard anything about Gork's Quest?
I watched the trailer, and I feel like that's the one that had the robot that was just sassing everyone.
Yeah,
that's the best that I can figure, but I got nothing.
But like, I wonder. Because Achievement Hunter implies that it's not just Rooster Teeth proper. So does Gork's Quest belong to a cow shop or a Sugar Pine 7 or a new production company or whatever? Or JT's Music, for goodness sakes. But that's the thing, is they're like, hey, new stuff. But similarly to Nomad, it's just, we're just going to do it.
It worked out for Nomad.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, and I wonder if that was the test one where it's like, all right, we're going to start with this cute, quirky show, and then we're going to try it with 5 other things.
I mean, Million Dollar Butt has the huge brand already. So that's,
yeah.
You're already grabbing stuff. And I would also say that Achievement Haunter has all of Achievement Hunter behind it. So
yeah.
I'd say our big question marks are Murder Room, Gork's Quest, and Branded. Mm-hmm.
I'm loving the title for Murder Room, though.
Yep.
Yep. It makes me very happy. That and Achievement Hunter. Those are the two I'm excited for.
Oh, the ghost one? Mm-hmm. You're excited for... Megan's excited for the ghost one, everybody.
Megan's excited for ghosts and murder. In other news, the sky is blue.
I didn't say murder.
We're both murderinos. We're excited for things that have murder in the name. Provided that nobody actually dies.
Step into my murder.
Murder. Murderama. Murderino.
That's what murder meant.
Please say everything like that from now on.
No. Thank you, news.
I just need to pull that clip of you saying murderino like that. Anyway, I think that's all the Rooster Teeth news we have. Do we have a piece of news for us regarding next week's show?
Oh, can we talk about it?
Yeah.
Should we?
Or should we just say it's going to be special? Stay tuned.
Let's, okay. We've been trying to confirm a guest to come in studio. Their schedule has changed since the first time we tried to book
them.
We're
pretty much confirmed, but I would like to wait until I get the okay to put it on social media before we officially announce it. But hopefully we'll have a guest next week.
Literally when we were about to announce that it was going to happen, we can't do it that week, let's do it another week. So yeah, we have a guest down the pipeline. Whether that it more than likely will happen next week.
More than likely.
For those of you not only Red versus Blue fans, but Ruby fans and Nomad of Nowhere fans
and Cam Cam fans
and Attack on Titan fans.
Now you've just told them
things. This might be relevant to your interests.
It's on this show. It's relevant to their interests.
That's right. Travis Willingham.
Yeah. Travis Willingham voices the Titans, if you didn't know.
Matthew Mercer, no.
He's busy.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, we're way out of time, and we sinned against Steve. Let's get out of here.
So, yeah, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for joining us. Mark, where can the people find you?
Mark B. Donica. Follow all of us at ABTV Rooster Team. Follow us on YouTube for Welcome to Vale, tpublic.com/TheRoosterTeam. We're gonna need your help coming up with something, so please respond, tweet us out, retweet, all of that stuff. We're really gonna need your help with something coming up, but until then, support Welcome to Vale, and we can do more of it.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheManguin. That's TheManguin.
You can follow Stacey Shuttlesworth at Stacey Shuttles, and I am Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias and on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you would like to see the reactions for these episodes, they live on that YouTube channel. Stay tuned for next week. Stay tuned for the rest of the season. We are going to have a ball, and let's go get pizza. Thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Pizza Quest!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.